Welcome to today's featured interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, of course, the founder of Brighteon. And today I'm joined by a very special guest who has been absolutely instrumental in fighting for health freedom and truth in California. Her name is Alex Meyer, and she's with Children's Health Defense. She has been the head of Children's Health Defense in California. And now she has a very special announcement to share with us about the new organization that she will be heading in California. This is a bombshell breaking announcement right now. So Alex, thank you for joining me today. It's great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's great to be on your amazing show. I'm a big fan and a frequent listener.
Oh, that's nice to hear. I don't know how you find the time because you do so much great work out there in California.
I find the time. Yeah, I'll be brushing my hair, brushing my teeth, and you'll be in my ear.
Oh, is that right? Well, yeah. We do the best that we can with that. I also want to mention you are your family is the Meyer family, the Oscar Meyer family, going back a few generations, right?
Right. I grew up in the Oscar Meyer family, and Oscar Meyer, the original one who came to the United States from Germany in 1881, is my great-great-grandfather. I should also say I was adopted into that family, but I do carry the name because I was adopted into the family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's really something. I'll have to ask you questions about your fascinating childhood at some point, but you have a bigger announcement for today. Let me give you the floor. Go ahead and tell our audience what's up.
Okay. Sounds good. So a lot of people are familiar with Children's Health Defense, which is the organization started by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Lynn Redwood and a few other people. And they started a chapter program in 2020, and California was one of the first chapters to launch. I was one of the co-founders of the California chapter, and I served as president of the chapter for the founding years. And then I took a year break. And now I'm back with the California chapter of Children's Health Defense as the chairman of the board. But we are expanding and rebranding, and I will no longer be part of the California chapter as of this weekend. And we are forming a new organization called the FreeNowFoundation.org in California, because what happens in California is going to soon happen in your state, and we're trying to stop it here.
Good point. Okay, so FreeNowFoundation.org, that's the website?
Yes. Okay. And it's really important to know it's not going to be associated with Children's Health Defense anymore. We're going to be partnering with Children's Health Defense, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr. supports our work. He's not going to be part of the organization. We are going to be completely on our own. It's the same board, the same management team, the same executive team, the same lawyers, and the same volunteers. And that's a significant number of people. We actually have almost 200 fully vetted volunteers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, well, let's talk about practical matters. So I've got, wealthy individuals that ask me who they should donate to. And I just had a conversation. I guess I'll go ahead and make this public. Had a conversation the other day of a very wealthy individual who wants to give away $1 million to like 40 or 50 different groups. And so I'm going to send them your group's name. Is your group now able to take donations as of now or when?
As of this weekend, we'll be able to take donations. That would be amazing. I will take that call, Mike.
I figure you will. Yeah. And this person I know would absolutely support your work. So I'll help make that happen. But it's crowdfunding, you're going to need a broad base of support from a lot of people on a sustained basis. Mm-hmm. And of course, we here at healthrangerstore.com, we would love to help sponsor you on a more routine basis as well. We can talk offline about how we can make that happen.
But we'd love that. And those are the kinds of things we're free to do now, not being with Children's Health Defense anymore. So that's super exciting.
That's awesome. But we're big fans, of course, of Children's Health Defense for all the amazing work that CHD is engaged in. And of course, we're big fans of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who I have called an American hero. I would imagine you agree with that. You said he won't be directly involved in this organization, but I would imagine he's very thrilled about what you're doing, right?
He is. Yeah, he sees the need for us to rebrand and do some work that Children's Health Defense can't do with its current mission. So it makes a ton of sense. I mean, after lockdowns, I never call it COVID, I just call it lockdowns. We really needed to refocus and really focus on the issues of medical freedom, the medicalization of children, and keeping the government out of the parent-child relationship and keeping the government out of the doctor-patient relationship. And so that we're going to be going forward with more of a freedom agenda.
Okay, yeah, so freenowfoundation.org is going to be the website. That sounds perfect. So in addition to then the focus of CHD, what what else are you going to go after here?
Well, as I said, we're really concerned about the medicalization of children. There's some bad bills in the legislature right now. One of them is to force the Gardasil vaccine onto school children, and that's not currently one of the vaccines on the 10 vaccine schedule required for attendance in California. So there's right now there's 10 vaccines required. Gardasil would be the 11th in California, and it would be required to attend school. Now, we've been able to push back on that bill quite a bit. And so the actual K through 12 mandate, which would have actually been an eighth grade Gardasil vaccine requirement, was actually pulled back. But if you read the language of the bill, it says it's going to be encouraged. It doesn't say it's mandated. So they've only changed basically one really key word in the bill language. So it's very confusing. If you go look at it, it's going to look like there's still a mandate for eighth graders to get the Gardasil vaccine, but we were able to get them to back off on that. So, and then on the college level, they've made it a mandatory requirement in the bill, at least for college students, anyone up to age 26 who wants to go to college in California will have to get the Gardasil vaccine if they don't get a medical exemption.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And exactly as you said, that these policies will spread from California if we don't fight them there in California. I don't know, maybe it's a rhetorical question, but the political leaders of California are tone deaf to the fact that so many children are being harmed by these vaccines. So many even adults are being killed or maimed by the COVID vaccines. But even before COVID vaccines, autism continues to increase. We have new data from the CDC about autism that it's just continues to worsen. Why are the authorities in California, why do they not care about children at all, it seems, at least in my view?
That's a really good question. I mean, what percent of the United States population is California? It's like more than 10% of the US population. There's 40 million people here. So if you're looking for a beachhead, you get California, and the rest of the United States is easier to get. There's also a lot of Democrats here, so it's very hard to fight against these things because Democrats tend to be very pro-vaccine and very blind to the side effects. And as you know, I started this work because I was vaccine injured as an adult when I was running a worldwide group for Apple in the 1990s. And I still suffer symptoms of that vaccine injury more than a quarter century later. So this stuff is real. Vaccine injury is real, and it's lifelong. And there's so many injuries still going on. We just brought one of the first plaintiffs, the lead plaintiff actually, in one of the Gardasil cases to Sacramento to argue with the legislators that they should take that requirement off of the K through 12 schedule. Yeah. And I think seeing Jennifer Roby, that's her name, who is disabled by the Gardasil vaccine, she's in a wheelchair. I think that really affected them. And that's why they backed off on the language saying that it was going to be encouraged, but not required.
Wow.
And they have to see it. If these legislators don't see it with their own eyes, and unfortunately it takes a visual, like someone in a wheelchair, they're not going to do anything. They don't believe it unless they see it or it happens to them.
Well, you are a very effective spokesperson for this because you have real mastery of the subject. You explain it well, and people are going to be forced to listen to you more and more as your voice grows with your new organization. Can you tell us, are you gaining traction with more people there now because it's so evident that the vaccine injuries and deaths that have happened in the post-COVID vax era?
We are gaining a lot of traction. We have just a massively increasing membership, email list and social media list. It's increased a whole lot exponentially in the past couple of years. We have a ton of support. Our events always sell out. They're so well attended and people are like begging to get in the door the day before the event. We have to say, no, we're at capacity again. Sorry.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, there's some interesting opportunities we have coming up that may help support you as well. Let's be sure to talk offline about something that we're about to launch that I think could help you. But here in the interview, let me ask you, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but we don't prearrange any questions or anything. It is rumored that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is considering a run for president to be the Democrat nominee against Joe Biden. Personally, I fully support that. He would be fantastic in this because he would, no matter who's the candidate on the Republican side, if Bobby were there, if you don't hopefully he doesn't mind me just calling him Bobby, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr., if he were there, he would change the very tone of the debates. What are your thoughts on that? And do you hope that he actually makes this run and gets into the debates?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought this up. So he's in an exploratory phase right now. He hasn't declared that he's running, but we all hope that he will declare that he's running for president of the United States. And I believe that if he were to run and if he were to get in office, and his platform right now would be to take the corruption out of the government agencies. We don't want to deal with captured agencies and moneyed interests anymore in the U.S. And he would be the perfect person for that job.
Yeah,
because everybody, whether you're Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative, you can see what happened with moneyed interests and captured agencies.
Yes.
When you look at what happened with the COVID shots. I mean, those were foisted on our population with mandates, with coercion, and they're harming more people than they're helping.
And I think that there's a very interesting political calculation that could come into play here, which I'm sure you've considered as well. But, you know, Trump has still not denounced the vaccines and Operation Warp Speed. And yet many Trump supporters are very strongly opposed to these vaccines. It seems to me that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could attract quite a significant percentage of former Trump supporters by simply telling the truth as he stated in his book, The Truth About Anthony Fauci. I mean, if he just talks about what's already documented, he would get a lot of people over to his side to say, let's end this medical corruption. What do you think?
I think that, you know, we talk a lot about single issue voters, and I think COVID and COVID shot mandates have made a lot of people a single issue voter because nobody wants mandates ever again. So I think you're right. I think if he were to run against a Republican like Trump, that he would get a significant number of the Republicans who don't want mandates again. Because Trump, you're right, Trump hasn't come out against the shots as far as I know. And he'll probably get all of the Democratic votes because they just wouldn't want Trump or somebody else he's running against. So if he gets all the way, if he announces and if he gets all the way there, I think he'll have it.
Yeah, those are a lot of obstacles, of course, a lot of ifs. And I have a feeling the Democrats would rig their own internal elections so much to try to prevent Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from winning the nomination. What?
Yeah, that's a concern. But I think Democrats want to keep the White House in Democratic hands more than they don't like Bobby for the position.
That's interesting. I do think Democrats are ready to get rid of Joe because he's been a disaster. But I secretly would love to see Robert F. Kennedy Jr. get the nomination, go into a debate with Trump and force Trump to denounce the damn vaccines. And then we'd have two candidates right there saying how much they hate the vaccine corruption. That would be awesome.
It would be amazing. I mean, and just the fact that each candidate needs to get equal time in the media and in debates, it's the hugest thing because this issue of the vaccines not being safe is finally going to hit the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Like it or not, here we come. If he announces, we don't know what he's going to do. I just have to be really careful.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, we're still quite a ways away from that election. And by the way, there's still a lot of things that can happen in this country that end those elections prematurely, like, you know, World War III or economic collapse or things like that we talk about sometimes. But let's hope we get to the next election with our country intact. And then let's hope whoever it is willing to tell the truth about these vaccines and stand up for the American people and health freedom. So we'll just see where that goes.
Let me say one other thing. Like, if he announces, I think the biggest hurdle is going to be this. It's going to be the primaries. If he announces, then Republicans cannot vote for him in the primaries if they're registered as a Republican. So people are going to have to switch tickets for the primaries if they're a Republican and they want to vote for Bobby.
Isn't that on a state by state basis, though? I mean, isn't it different for certain states, or is that,
that's
across the board that way?
I'm only speaking to California. I don't know what goes on in other states, so excuse me if I misspoke. I don't.
Well,
know.
No problem. I'm not sure of the law either, but I think that varies state by state, but I'm not sure.
That makes sense that it would. I just don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll look into that and we'll get the answer for our audience. But in any case, it's an exciting time to even have the possibility of a candidate who is on the Democrat side, who is, you know, he's brilliant. He's well-spoken. He's obviously courageous. He's experienced extreme censorship already, like all of us have. So he knows what it's like to be silenced. He's been attacked and savaged by the media for telling the truth. And, you know, I'm at the point, but so has Trump, obviously, too. So we need candidates for political office, I think, who have been through what we have been through, which is I don't know what's the right way to describe it, but it's a horrific abuse of power by big tech and government. And you've been through that too, Alex, yourself and your organization.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have. We've been censored and deplatformed and shadow banned by all the social media companies. Now it's all coming out. I just read the stuff about Stanford and the social media companies and how they were doing this. I can't remember the name of their project, but
the
Virality Project. And it's so interesting because it's like the two-armed shield. On the one hand, Stanford set the standard for what could and could not go on social media. But then they say, well, we just said what the guidelines should be. We didn't actually do the censoring. Social media did it. And then the social media companies can say, oh, it wasn't us. We're just doing what Stanford said was right.
Right. I mean,
it's the whole COVID narrative. Nobody's to blame.
Yeah. And then they're also going to have a third hand and point to the government. Oh, the government told us to do this and that and this other thing.
Right.
It's just a finger pointing game. The truth is they're all authoritarian tyrants. They all need to be removed from power. And we need to restore freedom of speech for everything other than what is actually mentioned in Section 230, which is like lewd, violent, harassing, stalking. You know, Section 230 was written to protect children against basically porn and violence. I mean, that's what it was all about.
And look at us now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really sick. In fact, there's an insane bill. I didn't write down the bill number in California, but this is awful. This is about the medicalization of children. And this is about the government coming between the parent and the child. This bill, if it passes and if it's signed into law by Governor Newsom here in California, would mean that a child going to a school counselor could say, oh, my parents don't support my choices. And you know where this is going. This has a lot to do with LGBTQ stuff, but yeah. Anything. My parents don't support my choices in general. That kid could go to a group home for treatment and not even come home from school that day.
Unreal.
It is absolutely unreal. We've got to stop this one.
It's like a fascist or a Marxist medical kidnapping of children.
Yeah. And the kids won't even realize what they just did.
Right.
All of a sudden they won't go home and they don't have access to their parents anymore.
And they'll be put under and they'll be mutilated or castrated or who knows what.
Yeah, it's medical kidnapping.
Yeah,
right. And that's why our children cannot be medicalized, because stuff like this can happen. They're going to keep passing legislation to take the kids away from the parents.
You know, even the Third Reich weren't this insanely evil about this. I mean, yes, the Third Reich, they murdered millions of people based on their ethnicity. They euthanized children with physical deformities or, you know, genetics that the regime didn't want, let's say. They euthanized elderly, they euthanized sick people. But they didn't even, I mean, that was evil, pure evil. But what we're seeing now is a different level of evil, of mutilating children and their genitalia, then brainwashing them in the public schools, traumatizing them, and then mutilating them and medically kidnapping them, taking them away from their parents. Even Hitler didn't think of that level of evil. That's bizarre.
I know. And then Hitler would have killed the kids who were mutilated.
Good point.
I mean, it's so sad. And I have to tread very lightly there. I have a transgender person in my family. And so I really need to, and I do have sympathy, but I have to tread very lightly here personally. But I also want to let you know what's going on in the California schools. And we have a lot of lawsuits in California in the school system. We've got one lawsuit at the college level. We've got two in the K-12 area. And we also have two lawsuits against supervisors in Orange County and Alameda. Are you okay if I talk about those?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, please.
Okay, cool. So in California, Children's Health Defense California chapter came out with a bang, and we wrote this notice of liability letter. It went to 1,100 superintendents and hundreds of supervisors in California. And there's 58 counties with 5 supervisors each in California. So this letter went far and wide, and it was a notice of liability. Basically, like if you coerce anybody into getting this vaccine, that's a de facto mandate.
Yes.
And we will come after you. We will sue you. And guess what? We did. We followed up on that letter. We were serious. And so we have a lawsuit in LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District. It's one of the biggest school districts in the country. And they were taking their own authority to mandate the COVID shot onto their students. And they said that anybody who didn't want a COVID shot, they could go to school, but they had to go to independent study.
Wow.
Now that's illegal. Independent study in California has to be voluntary by law. So that was illegal. It was also illegal because the schools don't have the authority to mandate any shots that are not on the California Department of Public Health list. So they were way outside of their authority. So I just want everybody to know, if your school is mandating a vaccine on their own, they don't have that authority in California. And I don't think any schools in the nation have that authority. The school doesn't have the authority. The superintendent doesn't have the authority. The school district and the Board of Education don't have the authority. The only authority is actually the California Department of Public Health. So we were able to win that lawsuit. And we're just waiting for a final judgment on that one. So that's been really good. Another lawsuit, we did the same lawsuit against Alameda County, and they wanted to mandate the COVID shot illegally down to age five-year-olds, and send five-year-olds into independent study. Okay, Mike, unreal. When you and I were five, we were learning to read probably. Could we go into independent study and learn how to read by reading packets that they send you home with?
No.
I mean, it's just insane. So we won that lawsuit as well. We have another lawsuit in the Yorba Linda School District. Our lead plaintiff is a guy with the last name of Palicki, and he was wearing a mesh mask for most of, you know, the COVID lockdown emergency, I'm going to put in quotes, period. And one day, you know, in the middle of exams, they decided that his mask wasn't good enough. And they made him go outside in the rain when it was about 40 degrees, which probably doesn't sound cold to a lot of people in the United States, but we Californians are kind of softies with the weather. So that was, you know, treacherous for a Californian. But still, I mean, to make a student have that disrupted of a time around exams and make him do his work outside, it's ludicrous. All because his mask suddenly wasn't good enough. And there were other kids in similar masks, but he got targeted. So we have a lawsuit to defend him. And, you know, Great. It's really an interesting one because we have to ask the school, so what science are you relying on to know that the other masks actually work and that this guy Palicki, that his mask doesn't? So right. we need them to tell us what science they relied on to determine all the other masks actually work.
But I love the fact that your group is working with lawyers to file suits and to make these arguments and, you know, bring this to light so that perhaps some level of rationality can, you know, can be victorious here, because these children's lives are being destroyed in many cases.
Absolutely. Well, now let's talk about rationality in our lawsuits. So we have another lawsuit against Santa Clara University, and in a month or two, we're going to be having an appeal. We'll be making our appeal because all 16 causes of action were actually thrown out. And that's because there's an irrational judge there. Yes. They gave us three judges, all of whom were law professors or visiting law professors or former law professors at Santa Clara University. I mean, we kept getting judges thrown out. They kept replacing with someone else who was tied to Santa Clara University. So this judge in our case was also the one. Have you heard about the church called Calvary Chapel in San Jose?
No.
We're public health officials. So Calvary Chapel is in San Jose. That's part of Santa Clara County, which is basically Silicon Valley for people who don't live here. That church, Mike, was fined more than $4 million for staying open during lockdowns.
Wow.
Even though liquor stores were open at the same time.
Exactly.
$4 million to a church.
That's
so, and I mean, it was like the Keystone Cops. These public health officials were coming to this church and standing behind chain link fences with like binoculars, like looking at them, people going to this church. And this is where I go to church, counting cars to estimate how many people were in there, making notes. Oh, somebody hugged. Somebody was singing in front of somebody else. Naughty, naughty.
Yeah. But you know, look, it's California. I mean, years ago we covered I forgot what county it was, but the officials arresting James Stewart for his raw milk, right? And it was like, oh, the raw milk cops came in with guns drawn to arrest him over cheese. And, you know, and then they destroyed a truckload of milk and cheese. And of course, the rest of us are like, yeah, California's gone totally insane. So the stories that you're telling us still is.
Yeah, because this judge who's also on our case is the judge who upheld all the fines against that church.
Yeah, exactly.
They're appealing that, obviously, but they were the most heavily fined entity in the entire county by
far. It's hard for the rest of us to fathom how you continue to survive in California. No, don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're there because we do need to carry on the fight for human freedom and for children's lives in California. But my goodness, how do you do it?
Well, I'm here for a reason, and I was vaccine injured and disabled and brain damaged in my 30s. So this is the work I'm cut out to do. So California is a good place to do it.
I'll say this as a Texan. If you ever have a hankering for some firearms, you come on out to Texas and we'll give you full capacity magazines and ARs and you'll have a blast. I'm telling you, we'll bring out the 50 cal for you if you want to have a big thumper out
I'll
there.
I'll take you up on that. And I like your double entendre of having a blast. I like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because the 50 cal, when you pull the trigger on that, it's like a concussion grenade just went off about 2 feet from your face, basically, is the way that one goes.
Does that have a lot of kick?
It throws up dust at everything. It's crazy. It's like you got to be really wanting to send 660 grains of lead down range to pull a trigger on that puppy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but that's okay, Texas, well, right? Everything's bigger in Texas, including the firearms.
I'll take another trip there. That would be awesome.
Okay.
I am armed, but you named some machines that I don't have.
Yeah, probably. Because it's California.
So back to our Santa Clara suit, if you don't mind. So our Santa Clara suit is really interesting. The lead plaintiff, her name is Harlow Glenn, and she had a suspicion she was going to be injured by these shots. So she tried to get a medical exemption accepted. And she did get a medical exemption from not one, but two doctors. And Santa Clara University rejected both of her medical exemptions. Then she tried to get a religious exemption. And guess what Santa Clara, a Jesuit university, said to her about getting a religious exemption? They said, "I'm sorry, Harlow, but we give religious exemptions to faculty and staff, but not students."
Oh, I've heard that. Yes.
Yeah.
Not students. Wow.
Exactly. So she went ahead and got a shot because she was a sophomore. She just transferred into the school. The transfer process is kind of atrocious, and she didn't want to go through that again. And she was happy there. And she was almost immediately disabled. She went to the emergency room. She was peeing blood. She was numb from the waist down. And they're like, "Oh, you just have a bladder infection." That's not what she had. She lost most of her hair. She was sick for 4 months. She was very, very injured. She'll never be able to have another vaccine in her entire life.
Wait a minute. What vaccine did she take?
A COVID shot.
The mRNA?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Pfizer.
And she suspected that might happen ahead of time.
Yeah. Then get this, Mike, the school comes back to her and they say, "Well, to stay enrolled, you need to finish the primary series," which means two more shots because the primary series is two shots and then a booster.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. And so she submitted another medical exemption saying, "Hey, I went to the emergency room because I went numb from the waist down after my Pfizer shot. I was peeing blood. I lost half my hair. I was sick for 3 or 4 months. I can't get another one." And you know what they said?
They said, "You haven't peed enough blood yet. Take more."
Almost exactly that. No, they said, "Oh, I'm sorry. If only you'd been admitted to the hospital for one overnight, we could have granted your medical exemption because you only went to the emergency room.
Oh,
it wasn't serious enough."
See, again, total insanity.
Total insanity. So the reason we're appealing this, and I had to tell you that background on the judge to understand why someone would actually throw out all 16 causes of action. We are appealing this because we feel like because we filed it such a long time ago, this could be one of the first cases if we win to prove that COVID vaccines can and do injure people. So we're going to keep going.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad that you're working so hard. I feel very sorry that people are being injured, obviously, by this. We're doing everything we can to warn people in advance. But your website is the freenowfoundation.org, freenowfoundation.org, right?
That's it. Yep.
Okay. All right. That's great. And I wish you the best with the launch of this organization. You will definitely have our support and our reader support. And sounds like Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s support as well. Anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
Well, I just have really appreciated your and Natural News's support over the years as well. You've supported our organization and we've just had a great partnership and I look forward to a whole lot more partnership in the future.
Oh, absolutely. We are here to support you. And you listen to my podcast, so you know I have a little bit of a twisted sense of humor, right?
Just a little.
You know that. Okay. So you can probably handle this, but don't take it the wrong way. But I was just thinking that actually your family, the Oscar Mayer family, was the first transgender meme because I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. So see, we
did. Oh my gosh. That's funny.
Yeah. You're in California also. That, I mean, I'm sorry to keep pointing that out, but you are way behind enemy lines there. I mean, you're seeing like the wokiest woke fest of woke tardia that has ever existed in America. It's insane. I mean,
I agree.
It's all around you there.
It's all around me, but we have our network of friends. We have our network of people who are, you know, with our organization, and you know, it keeps you sane here. And we're here for a reason. The reason I'm still in California is there's a lot to fight for. It's not worth giving up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I'm so glad that you're fighting, and thank you for your courage, and thank you for coming on. I mean, you might take some flack, you know, just for talking to me, but well, thanks for being willing to explore some of these difficult subjects with us here. And I wish you the best with your new organization, freenowfoundation.org. And I look forward to what you're going to be launching.
Thank you so much, Mike. And I always look forward to your next report. So thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Take care. And thank all of you for watching. Mike Adams here, of course, brighteon.com. Feel free to repost this interview on other channels and other platforms as well. And check out the new website, freenowfoundation.org. These are the folks in California that are fighting for health freedom and to protect children from the vaccine predators in particular, the medical kidnappers out there. So support this organization, and maybe we can save some children. Thanks for watching. God bless you all. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by healthrangerstore.com and two really important products we have. One is a product that I formulated here. It's called Biostructured Silver. It's a first aid gel that is available in multiple packs here, by the way, you know, different quantities. And you can see it. I've got some here on my desk. These are the tubes. And this is Texas rainwater mixed with seven different essential oils and a colloidal silver that is, well, I call it biostructured silver, that uses circuitry that I actually developed and had custom made. And then we collect Texas rainwater to make that product. You're going to love that product. And then we have another product here at healthrangerstore.com, organic black cumin seed oil. This is a 4-ounce bottle of this amazingly powerful oil. It is in stock right now. It's available and you're absolutely going to love it. It's very delicious, especially for black cumin seed, which is usually not that tasty. So you can check all these out at healthrangerstore.com, plus hundreds of other products that we have for health, nutrition, survival, preparedness, personal care, and home care. And remember that I do not like artificial fragrances at all. And so everything that we offer, including body soap and laundry detergent and dishwasher detergent, is custom formululated with even environmentally friendly ingredients that are highly rated by the EWG, the Environmental Working Group, that they rate individual ingredients, and we use all highly rated ingredients by the EWG in our formulations. And on top of that, these products are fragrance-free in terms of no artificial fragrances. Some of our products have natural essential oils, and it's listed on the label. There might be different scents, like a citrus body soap, for example, or a lavender body soap, but it's real lavender. It's nothing artificial, no synthetic fragrances of any kind whatsoever. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. I think you'll really enjoy these products and your health will benefit tremendously. And the silver gel is a great item for future barter, by the way. It's good for prepping. You can buy these in quantity. You can stock up on them. It's great for animal use as well as people use. And the shelf life on this is very, very long. And a little bit of this product goes a long way. So make sure that your medicine chest has the biostructured silver gel from healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.